Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holy Field Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauder, the Houston Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Del Boar Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Beautiful Florida here, and people out having fun. A little chilly, but still.
Fantastic.
Though, it's,
yeah, it's a little, it is a little cool outside.
It is.
Can't
it is,
that
yeah.
Out.
Yeah. It's our last.
Well, we have another.
Cold.
I thought this weekend, maybe Saturday or Sunday, we're supposed to have another cold front come through.
Yeah, but it's, they're saying it's not going to be.
Drastic.
Nah, it's just, you know, by the middle of February, spring training has started. Yeah. The pitchers and catchers already reporting. The teams are reporting today and tomorrow. And, you know, so therefore, by law, it can't get cold anymore because the boys of summer are here. So.
Right.
Yeah.
This is Ron's season.
That's right.
Like, anyway, Facebook is like, okay, yeah, the Super Bowl is not great. But pitchers and catchers report.
That's right.
Kind of
although it was
football game on TV. Yeah, yeah. It was.
The Atlanta Zoo made a bet with the zoo, and it wasn't the Boston Zoo because it was another zoo up there in that area. They made a bet that whoever won the Super Bowl, the losing zoo would have to name a baby after the winning quarterback. And so Atlanta Zoo named a hissing cockroach Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought that was great. Now you have a hissing cockroach named after you.
Yep, the Tom Brady. That was
Tom
good.
Brady. Yeah, I like that.
I've got my third now. Wine Spectator magazine. I didn't realize this was a weekly publication because I seem to be getting one every week now or every other week. And
well, there may be
I haven't even finished
up,
Well, a chance. I haven't even read the first one all the way through. Now I'm just like, I'm just opening up the page and going, okay, I'll read that. Oh, it's an ad. All right. Skip another. Oh, I'll read this article, you know, and I've got three of them sitting here now. And I haven't even opened the second one that I got, the Great Wines to Discover issue. Now I've Rediscover Australia already. They seem to all have good issues or good issues, but I don't have time to read them before the next one comes in. Slow down, Wine Spectator. I know you're listening because you're big fans of the show, but
don't send them out so fast.
Slow down.
I think it's every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks they come out.
Oh,
and
really?
Then, I think it's every two weeks.
Oh, no wonder. Oh, okay. I need to just read faster. What does this say? I thought it was a monthly thing.
No, I think it's every 2 weeks.
Okay, so we're not even done with February. This is the March 31st issue.
Yeah. They want to keep on top of
it. They can't.
There.
That's telling me what's going to happen a month from now when it hasn't happened yet.
Hasn't happened yet. That's right.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Well, you can't read dates on like things anyway. Yeah.
So I'll be done with the whole year in about 2 months. I'll get all my issues.
Yeah, probably about the middle of July. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
The January 31st issue will be hitting you about August the 1st.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't know how they can do that, but no, that's where it goes.
They don't have to worry about a swimsuit issue, so they can put them out anytime they want. So.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Alarming rate. So,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But
well, that's all I have.
big news. Okay.
Okay.
We need a big news button. Do we have a big? No, we don't. Okay. Here. This is
big news.
That was sort of anticlimactic. Pop on the cork there. That wasn't really a big news, but we don't have a big news button here.
Mm-mm.
No, we don't. But big news.
Nope.
This coming Saturday, the 18th of February, is National Drink Wine Day.
Huh.
There you,
wow.
Thank you. Yes, that is big. National Drink Wine Day. Okay, y'all hear that out there now. Now, it's really sad for those of you who are going to listen to this on archives next week or something, and you go, oh, man, I missed it.
That's the
18th Saturday? National Drink Wine Day. Now, it doesn't say anything about drink a little bit of wine. It just says Drink Wine Day. So I'm sort of like interpreting that as once you get up in the morning, pour yourself a glass and enjoy it until bedtime. So,
yeah. It's what's for breakfast.
That's right. So, National Drink Wine Day, Saturday. Tomorrow, National Cafe a Latte Day. So, it's a latte day tomorrow. Monday, of course, President's Day. So, and Monday is also National Muffin Day. So, if you're not into presidents, I'm sure you can enjoy a muffin instead. And then Tuesday, National Sticky Bun Day. And also Tuesday's National Biscuits and Gravy Day.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Ooh.
Okay.
It does sound good. I can't think of any wine that would pair with biscuits and gravy, though.
You know they have a potato chip that tastes like biscuits and gravy?
Biscuits and gravy, yes, they do. Have you ever had it?
They have it in the vending machine.
Do they? Yeah. It tastes like biscuits and gravy.
It does. Yeah. It's a little crunchy, but it's like a potato chip, but it tastes just like it. It was kind of it was interesting. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've had it a couple times now.
I've had that. I go, ooh, yeah. This is great. Then next Wednesday, the day before our next show, is National Cherry Pie Day. So, is always ironic because it's also George Washington's actual birthday. So. National Cherry Pie Day.
There is a connection. Yeah.
There is a connection there. And then Thursday, if you happen to get up before you come on the program, National Chili Day a week from today. And also National Banana Bread Day. So we've got whole bunch of stuff coming up here to drink wine, but the particular big one, Saturday, National Drink Wine Day. I was excited when I saw that. I really was. I got to work, but I will break a rule. I usually don't drink with my guests, but I might have to do that since it's National Drink Wine Day.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's, you know, why not?
Engineer, bring me that bottle I brought home yesterday in a glass.
All right. Now everybody's got that. We're going to talk about something I teased last week about called plain packaging laws. Plain packaging laws. Now, I went in and found an interesting little article on plain packaging that was talking about what's happening with it. It's tobacco plain packaging is what they're referring to it as now, because it's tobacco. And it's just plain white wrappers. It's also known as generic packaging or standard size packaging. Thank you. My engineer just brought me a glass of this phenomenal strawberry port that I happen to have sitting on the counter. So I shared it with my engineer, so we're having some strawberry port tonight while we're from Florida State Winery, of course. Standardized or homogeneous packaging or plain packaging. Excuse me. What it does is it requires the removal of all branding, which includes the colors, imaging, corporate logos, trademarks, everything. The countries that have put this into effect have mandated standard size, font, and place for the name, and also health warnings and any other legal things that are required, like tax stamps and stuff like that. It's all the tobacco products that are being sold is the same, basically, with this small amount of who it is or what it is. It appears to be first suggested in 1989 in New Zealand by the Department of Health there. And then public health officials in Canada tried to adopt it, and they did in the 1990s, but then it was overturned when the new government came in. Australia has enacted it with their Tobacco Plain Packaging Act of 2011. And it is still there. The law has not been reversed or anything. It requires all tobacco products to be sold in plain packaging. As of October 2012 on, it's been required to be in plain packaging. France, United Kingdom, Ireland, and New Zealand have also looking at passed, or they have passed laws, or they have introduced legislation to pass it. So those are also in. It's a mixed bag here from what I'm finding out on this here. And I'm talking about tobacco now, and you'll see my tie-in with All About Wine here in a few minutes, so bear with me. They're not sure. The evidence of actually helping, again, it's to keep the kids from buying it. Like Mike and I were talking about before we came on the show, you know, everything is the kids. You know, if you want to tug at the heartstrings of anybody in the world, you say, well, we're doing this for the kids, you know. So they said that the plain packaging is so the kids won't be sold on the pretty package. You know, I mean, we look at our kids, I think, as pretty dumb if we think that the only reason they're going to buy a pack of cigarettes is because it has a pretty package. But I don't know. I guess if you sit in front of a TV playing video games all day and you walk out to the store and say, oh, that's a pretty package, give me those. I don't know. It seems strange to me. But it's research shows that The kids don't like the negative. It's got some negative perception about it. They said that it is cutting down a little bit. Those who do smoke are hiding the pack. Those who don't smoke too much are saying that they have cut back on it. And the basis of it is to drive down sales of tobacco products. Philip Morris sued Australia. And last I heard, Australia won. It was ruled that they can require packaging any number of ways they want. Advertisement companies and consultants for the tobacco industry are expressing concern, saying that it could set a precedent for other industries. And that's what we're looking at. Now, the opposition for all this, Philip Morris legal action against Australia, noted that plain packaging is being closely watched by other countries. And it was reported that an American lobbying organization, a group called American Legislative Exchange Council, has launched a worldwide campaign against plain packaging of cigarettes. Now, Australia was the first, and it was followed by other countries. Canada has introduced laws that includes 16 graphic health warnings covering 75% of the package and cigarettes and little cigars. The European Union has also proposed new laws for plain packaging. France. And in December 2010, it was introduced and it keeps dying, but it's popping up again. Hungary in August 2016, requires that new cigarette and tobacco brands introduced after that date will be in plain packaging. India also in August of 2012 started to do it, and it's still on the books there. Ireland announced plans to become the second country in the world to introduce the plain packaging in 2013, but in 2014, in June 2014, it was still being kicked around and hasn't been passed yet. The bill was signed by the president of Ireland on March 15th to put it into effect by the end of May 2017. So, couple months, it'll go there. Malaysia, New Zealand, Norway, Philippines, Turkey, United Kingdom, all of these are putting in laws for plain packaging or generic packaging for cigarettes. Now, like I said, the thing is, they're saying it's for the kids. The kids aren't going to buy it. The kids aren't going to look at it. The kids aren't going to do it because it's plain packaging. But the concern with some are that once you start there, where's it going to stop? It's a slippery slope, as one executive said. It degrades branding. What's the purpose of branding? What's the purpose of going out there and advertising your product and getting your product recognized and getting your product to the point where people say, okay, I like that. There's been comments that cigarettes in plain packaging are not as tasty. They have less of a taste. Now, you know, so if you find a cigarette you like, Marlboro or Winston or Salem or whatever, I don't care, and you enjoy the taste of it, you're going to have to look for the type on there, and this plain packaging could get carried on to the fact that you have less and less of a chance to get what you want. So they're just a generic package, same cost, same price, but companies spend millions of dollars, if not billions, promoting their brands. And this is, you know, what we do. It's a multi-billion dollar industry around the world, if not a multi-trillion dollar industry around the world, of promoting your brands. They start promoting this plain packaging, it's going to, a slippery slope. if it's if it's good for tobacco to stop kids from smoking, well, why don't we just start putting wine bottles or wine labels on in plain packaging? Then the kids will be turned off by the packaging there. Then they will not want to buy a bottle of wine because, oh my gosh, look, that's a nasty package there. And they show a picture. And the plain packaging for the cigarettes, they show a picture of a healthy lung and a cancerous disease lung. And, you know, right on the package. And, you know, let's take this a step further. We can show a good liver, and we can show a liver that has been ate up by cirrhosis because it is alcohol. And, you know, it just, I don't know. I tend to understand what they're trying to do, but I don't agree with it. I don't think it's going to help. I mean, many, many years ago, I smoked. I was in the service, and I smoked when I was in the service. And cigarettes at the time were less than $1 a pack. I quit many years ago, almost 40 years ago. And I'm seeing a pack of cigarettes now. I don't buy them. I don't say, but I'm seeing a pack of cigarettes now. Just one pack of cigarettes. It's costing $5, $6, $7, $8, depending on where you are in the country buying these. Now, if that's not a deterrent to smoking, then plain packaging, I don't think, is going to be a big deterrent either. And if you start expanding this, or if you start getting these legislatures who think they're doing a great job, saying, well, look what we did. Let's start passing this on to other things, whiskey, beer, wine. And I just, you know, it's a slippery slope, sticky, and it's not just whiskey, beer, and wine. Mars Candy Company made a comment about this. They don't want to be considered a cancer tobacco, but the whole thing in the industry now about, you know, obesity and how sugars are causing it, and we want to be sure people aren't going to get fat, and so maybe we should put candy in plain packaging, or pharmaceuticals even, or, you know, I mean, I see no end to it if it is deemed a success. So my thought on plain packaging, hey, you know, and you can always say it's costing this, the world, you know, I don't know how many billions of dollars in lost revenue through health and smoking and all that stuff, and hospital and loss of work and all that. I've seen all the statistics over the years and over, but you really think that this is the solution? If you have any comments, let me know. Go on the Facebook page or go on to email me. I think this plain packaging could get out of hand. So there you go. So enough of the plain packaging. Any comments, Mike?
Well, there's going to be some comments. part of it's like what you said, these people spend all this money that, you know, the manufacturers and everything, to come up with these logos and all these different designs and everything. And they say, all right, let's put our product in that. And they spend, you know, millions on marketing. And now I don't know. And I don't think that's going to sway one person or the other. I mean, if they want to buy drugs out there, it doesn't matter if it comes in a Ziploc bag or if it comes in a paper bag, they're going to buy it anyway. I think education would be more important than trying to, you know, persuade somebody not to buy it because, well, this is in a white plain bag, so you're not going to, your tendency to buy it is less. I just don't buy it. I mean, I don't get it. That's a wrong buy it. It's a wrong thing.
Yeah, no pun intended. Yeah.
No pun intended. It just doesn't. I don't see how that's going to sway him. Didn't we have here? Product, I mean, it was regular over-the-shelf products like cereals and stuff that just said like cereal or something, and
And
but
they still have
I don't see that items
out there, but you don't see it as much anymore.
No.
I remember.
I think most of the. I remember, like you, like cereals and regular commodities, you would see them in that in just plain white boxes or containers, and it would just say what it is,
and that was it.
No. But no. I think it's been overrun by food chains putting their own names on them. You know, like you'll see the grocery store brand of this cereal. Well, it's actually made from some other company that makes other cereal, and I think that's the generic now. Because they wanted to, I don't know, the white boxes just weren't doing it, so they started putting color back into it. I don't know. It's just,
and then again, too, like you say, the grocer's branding, and that's just what it is. It's you're branding the product, you know. So
yeah. And what's inside it doesn't matter. It's just it's the same as any other stuff. But I don't think that's gonna. I don't see how that's gonna help anything. But I mean,
I don't.
But, talk to somebody in Australia who's done this major studies on, you know, the effects and everything. If that's actually curbed the purchase or anything from, miners.
The evidence, the studies comparing existing branded cigarette packs with plain cardboard packs bearing the name and number of cigarettes in small font, found plain packs to be significantly less attractive. Well, yeah, duh.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know. you know, additionally, research in which young adults were instructed to use plain cigarette packs and sequentially ask about their feelings toward them confirmed findings that plain packaging increased negative perceptions and feelings about the pack and about smoking. Plain packs also increased behavior such as hiding or covering the pack, smoking less around others, going without cigarettes, and increased thinking about quitting. Almost half of the participants reported that plain packs had either increased the above behaviors or reduced consumption. Auction experiments indicated that a likely outcome of plain packaging would be to drive down demand of tobacco products. Well, you know, my daughter, when I was a single father, and we would go to the store, and I would grab the plain packs of stuff, and it would embarrass her because it was plain packs. And I said, daughter, this is the same as we're getting in the other packs, only it's not labeled. I don't care. That's not as good. And the perception, you know? And it's the same thing here. You know, it's just a perception, and it's – I think when you start doing it to tobacco and the kids are saying, well, I'm not going to like it as much. Well, okay, well, the kids are drinking beer and wine. Maybe we should require it to be done to those too. And we'll start doing plain packaging on beer and wine. And maybe candy, if candy is sold in plain packaging, just says that chocolate-covered peanuts on it, that's better than having all this other stuff. I mean, you know, it's back to the government's trying to protect us.
Yeah.
And that's not the government's job. It isn't. That's not the government's job. Is not to protect us. Let's see. In May 2013, Cuba, along with Ukraine, Honduras, and Dominican Republic, challenged Australia's rules to the WTO by filing requests for consultations, which is the first step into challenging the law. A request for consultation opens a 60-day negotiation window for the complaints. The packaging of Cuban cigars is considered significantly contributing to sales. So, you know, I just the whole thing is, like you say, it's a little bit out there. But Australia is doing it. I mean, they've been doing it. They've been doing it. See, under the legislation, companies have to sell their cigarettes in a logo-free, drab, dark brown packaging starting on December 1st, 2012. The government found that a specific olive green color, and that color being Pantone 448C, was the least attractive color, particularly for young people.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, really. Oh, it goes on. After concerns were expressed over the naming of the color by the Australian Olive Association, the name was changed to drab dark brown and not olive green. That's funny. That's funny. I don't want any association with it. Okay, we'll call it drab dark brown.
Yeah. Oops. We offended somebody with the name of the color. Now we got to change the name of the color.
No, I have to change the name. Oh, no. Oh, well. But I don't know. It just, to me, it sounds, well, it must be working. They're still doing it in Australia. They're saying that it, cutting down on the incidence of smoking, they said the smoking rates in 2007 was at 16.6%, and by 2018, they think it's going to be less than 10%. So, yeah, I don't know.
And that has all to do with the packaging and not maybe, you know, they're showing people on TV with their throats cut, you know, breathing through a tube or something. You know, this is what happened. It none of that affected it. All with the packaging.
Just the packaging. Packaging would scare me. Yeah. I know. But then again, the implications of what this can go into. I mean.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's and this is the thing. Mars. Let me see. Where is it? Mars made a comment about this about a year or two ago, but they don't want to be considered akin to tobacco. So they just, you know, very low key. They don't want to be shoulder to shoulder with the tobacco industry, but they're a little concerned about this, you know, generic branding or generic packaging, because branding, as the head of Mars Candy Bar says, branding at the end of the day is the consumer's guarantee. And, you know, when you start taking that away. So, now, I don't know. It's, like I say, anybody out there have comments or anything? It's something that's happening already in the world. It's popping up. Australia being the biggest company, but our country. But there's lots of others. Again, Canada, not complete yet. Canada hasn't really done the law, but they're looking at it, as opposed to the European Union, France, and some other large countries around the world. So, well, I don't know. I saw that when I first saw that article, I'm going, what? What's this? And it's been going on for 2 or 3 years now in Australia. And I've never seen anything about it. So it makes you wonder why it's not brought up more. But I don't think the United States would do it. I think the tobacco lobby is probably mighty, mighty strong here. So I don't think that's going to happen. All right. A couple of days ago, I was in the winery, and I had a couple walk in. I welcomed them to Florida State's winery, and the girl said, oh, she says, I'm from Nevada. She said, I do consulting for wineries and stuff out there. I said, Pahrump. She says, I deal with a lot of different wineries, and I said, Pahrump. And she said, and one of them is, and I said, Pahrump. And she goes, well, yes, you are familiar with them. I said, yes, I am. I am familiar with Pahrump Winery. I don't know if I told the story or not, but for years I was asking people to bring me a wine from a different state. All states have a winery, we know that. But I was asking people to bring me a wine from a different state. And I had one from Pahrump back, 8, 9 years ago. It was sitting on the stove. The bottle was too tall to set up on the cabinet, so I put it on the stove. Somebody moved the stove, and the bottle fell over and shattered. So I contacted Pahrump Winery. I emailed them, and I said, you know, I'm trying to get a wine from every state, and I explained to them the whole thing, what happened. I said, I would be happy to send you a couple of my bottles for one of yours so I can put it back up on the shelf. And they wrote me a very nice email, and they said, it sounds like a great project you're doing there. We would love to replace it. We'll get you one out soon. So I packaged up my orange and key lime, since I figured they wouldn't have a whole lot of orange and key lime in Nevada, and sent it to them. I received a first growth Zinfandel wine from them on a beautifully painted bottle, hand-painted bottle with the Pahrump Mountain on it and all that. Just really a gorgeous bottle. Shared the wine in a class that I was teaching that week, and the students, the people in the class, raved about it. I tasted it, and it was phenomenal. I was just absolutely blown away. They did a great job on it. I emailed them and told them about it and how everyone raved and how great I thought it was and all that. And they emailed me back and said that they enjoyed the orange and the key lime on two different occasions, sitting on the back porch of the winery watching the sunset over the Pahrump Mountain, which was sort of a nice note to me. And over the years, I've gotten emails from them. I think they are on our list, too, every month when we send out our e-letters a couple times. I think they are on our list to receive our e-letters also. And I get it from them. Well, when this girl walked in yesterday, she is a consultant for Pahrump Winery. And we got to talking, and when I first met Pahrump Winery, they were called Pahrump Winery, P-A-H-R-U-M-P, Pahrump. Now they're called Pahrump Valley Winery. They've switched over to become Pahrump Valley. And you can go to pahrumpwinery.com if you're interested in the website. They were guests on the program many years ago. Mike and I were talking before the show and couldn't remember exactly when, but they were guests. So you can probably go back and find the archive interview if you're interested. But Pahrump Winery now also has, they go by a couple of other names. They not only are they Pahrump, but they also go have a brand called Charleston Peak and Nevada Ridge. And those are all Pahrump wines. So it was interesting to talk to Shelley, was her name. She has a blog. I'm going to check that out and let you know. She took some pictures at the winery. She says she's going to post them on the winery Facebook page for us so we can check them out and authorize them to go on there. But I was also talking to Sean. I said, you're in Las Vegas. I said, do you know Irene King? And she goes, no. I said, well, she has a blog there in Nevada called The Vegas Wino. I said, she goes, Irene. I said, yeah, Irene King. She goes, well, I didn't know her last name. Only know her as Irene. So, I mean, it was sort of cool because I'm sitting there talking about people around the country from this lady from Las Vegas. People have been on the show. So she said she knew her. So Irene, if you're listening or if you listen to it, Shelley Mansholt, M-A-N-S-H-O-L-T, Mansholt. Shelley Mansholt said that she knows you and she's aware of you and all that stuff. But we need to get Irene on the show again. That's something I really need to do. I keep saying that. Every time I talk about her name, I always say that. But Pahrump Winery, really cool place, great wines. I've had people come in quite often that are travelers that have been out to Pahrump. One thing that Shelley did tell me, though, is that Pahrump Winery is in a county that is legal for prostitution. It's about an hour outside of Las Vegas, and they said that a lot of people travel to that county, and I don't know what the county is, but she said a lot of people travel to that county, but not particularly for the winery. There are other destinations that they go to. So I don't know. Maybe, like Mike and I were talking before the show, maybe Perump should tie it into the prostitution somehow or another. You know, once you get tired, come in and have some wine. Or I don't know. You know, we can get gross on it, but but there, you know, when Perump in a county like that, though. So Perump Valley Winery or Perump Winery on the website. Check that out if you get an opportunity, because it is a pretty cool winery. I'm going to have to look up that interview and check and see what the interview says, if there's anything on there that talk about. All right, a few things to pass on to you here, since we got a little bit of time left here. Let's see. Oh, there we go. 27. TCA cork tainted wines remain low, but sales of screw cap has not dropped. In fact, it's still up there. The technologies for the industry, cork manufacturers have said that the corks have improved thanks to inspections, state-of-the-art technologies, and all that. But about 25% of the wines submitted for review to Wine Spectator magazine in 2015 and 2016 were screw cap, bottled under screw cap. And since all the reviews were blind, they flagged 3.83% of all corked finished wines with some TCA or corked wines. And that was about the same as the previous year, which was an all-time low of 3.5%. Again, let's qualify this, because they did in this article. They were suspicious of cork taint. They didn't send them to lab to be tested, but, you know, these tasters basically know what they're doing. So, you know, when they say suspicious of cork taint, I'm sure it probably was. Cork-finished wines from California gained in suspected cork taint up to 3.3% from a low of the previous year of 2.6. Not a good thing, but of the 6,769 wines reviewed, 5,065 were under cork, and 194 of those were flagged for retasting. So it's many of the closures have been tried since the 80s to eliminate cork taint. The incident of cork taint with screw caps was less than 2%, with, again, not Tesla, not cork taint. I shouldn't say cork taint, but they're saying that off flavors less than 2%, whereas, from 2005 to 2016, the percentage of cork taint, well, in 2007 was the highest at 9.5% of the wines were tainted. 2016, 3.27 were tainted. So it's still out there, but it's dropped a lot with the new technologies. But the screw cap is still showing that it's, you know, holding the wines well and all that. Sorry, Irene. Irene's a big cork fan. She's not a screw cap fan. So, but let you know that it's improving. The cork taint is improving, but it isn't 100% yet. It is still an issue. It's still going on. A little something here which caught my eye, and I want to pass it on to you. The, well, no, that's not what I want. If somebody starts talking, then I hope not. Marijuana and labor shortages. They're, I hate it when these things just don't. U.S. wine industry is poised for another banner year, they're saying, in 2017. I knew that was going to happen. They don't. All right, that was Senator Senator Jeff talking about marijuana laws, and I was going to cut him off, but he was only 22 seconds long. Sales are projected to rise by as much as 6% in California on wine. Okay. They should climb 7% to nearly 4 million tons crushed. People are paying more attention, particularly the millennials are paying more attention to wine. But wine producers are becoming more focused on two concerns: labor shortage during the harvest season and the threat of legalized marijuana as an alternative to wines. Crops, marijuana crops, are something that can be, depending on how they're growing, where they're growing, the greenhouse, and all that, could be a continuous harvesting thing, and concern of labor shortages. Now, something else I saw, NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, there's President Trump has said he would like to repeal that, but also, it has been mentioned that if it's reworked, it could help the labor shortage that we're seeing already from Trump being in office. And so if the NAFTA is reworked, it could make a difference. Also with wine and with the marijuana, for years now, California wine industry has faced some challenges trying to get skilled workers in the harvest season. Mostly is the flow of migrant workers from Mexico, and it's usually men in the 20s to their 40s that have spent years coming back and forth. And they spend about 6 months working in the United States and then return to Mexico during the off season. And the low-paying harvesting jobs aren't really that alluring to Americans, although I saw something interesting the other day saying, you know, low-security prison workers might be able to fill in gaps on that and also give them something to do besides be locked up all day. I don't know. President Trump has a family wine business we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And he sought to get foreign employees for farm and labor work also, and that's what they rely on. But it has slowed down over the last few years, and they don't have the resources. The number of wine grape growing acres in the county of Sonoma County has remained steady at around 60,000, and the availability of workers has steadily decreased over that period of time. There's a chart here which I can't show you because, you know, it can't be done. But the consumer demand has jumped. The economic aspect of grapes have jumped. Changes in sales channels have jumped. But the labor has taken a major drop, a major hit, as has foreign competition against the wine industry. And wine substitutes, marijuana, basically, is what they're referring to on this. So these are things that are a concern to the wine industry now, and in California particularly, because they've legalized wine there, and are legalized marijuana there. And so it's a concern there. It's a concern in Colorado. I've seen a couple articles about that too. So these are things that the labor shortage in marijuana might affect. Now you say, oh, well, that has nothing to do with me. Yeah, it does. If you drink wine, a labor shortage or something along that line could cause the price of your wine to go higher. I mean, if you have to pay a lot more money to get someone out there to pick that those grapes to get them in on time, then you're going to have to recoup that somewhere. You're not going to sit there and eat the cost just because you don't have it, which could result in higher prices of your favorite wine. And particularly the lower-end ones, the higher-end wines aren't going to change because they're higher-end. And most people buy wines that cost between $7 and $15. That's your price range for almost everybody that just buys wine casually. Those are the ones that will jump up. Those are the ones that will start increasing on the price. Your favorite bottle of Moscato, instead of costing $6.99, could jump up to $7 or $8.99. And, you know, it makes a difference. It really does. So, don't know. That's something that time will tell. We'll see what's going to happen and see what's going on. But things what we need to consider and look at. Let's see. Are you ready for genetically modified wine? I think we talked about this a little bit once. Here's another article on it that it says grapes themselves basically are genetically modified. I mean, just by the fact that they have crossbred with themselves and they've done all sorts of different stuff and they became what they are now. We've even talked to wineries in Oregon who one of the guests said that there really is no pure Pinot Noirs that you drink anymore. They're all clones and of ones, different ones and all that. So, you know, that's it's happening already. But the research is out there trying to find grapes that will be resistant to diseases. And this is what they're concerned about. This is what may be happening with the genetics on wine. Pierce disease. We can't grow grapes here in Florida because of Pierce disease. They will end up dying. What if they can genetically modify that so it doesn't die? We can plant ourselves vineyards of Cabernets and Chardonnays and Merlots and Rieslings and be happy and all wiggly and everything because we got ourselves the grapes that people all around the country are always looking for instead of having to stay with, you know, something else. That could be a good deal. But we pour them a glass and we say this is a Merlot from a genetically modified grape that will grow in Florida and not be affected by Pierce disease. Are people going to say, whoa, wait a minute, GMO? I don't do GMO. And it's becoming a thing now, you know, GMO free and stuff like that. I'm not anti-GMO myself. I have to, you know, full disclosure. I have nothing against GMO. It's a great way to help grow plants and stuff like that. I know an individual who stated, well, I don't want to be eating Roundup, so I don't want GMO. That has nothing to do with it, but that's the type of scare tactic that is out there. So if you start doing GMO grapes, then I don't want to be drinking Roundup. I don't know. A CRISPR. I think I might have talked about this previously, but CRISPR is CR. Let's see. Let me find it here. I just had it up here, and I just lost it now. CRISPR, CRISPR. It's a type of modification of the grape that that can work, that can change the grape and let it grow and you know, not be affected by stuff and all that. So, I can't find it now. Look it up. CRISPR. CRISPR. It's a modification. Oh, what did I do with it? It was just here. But, you know, GMO on grapes, I think it's going to happen. It's going to happen. What has happened, basically, the grapes have genetically modified themselves. The new traits that you can put into it by a little bit of genetic modification could be a very good thing. It could make the grapes more easily available. It could make them hardier. It could make them stronger. I don't know. GMO, that's something in grapes that's going to be around for a long time. It's going to be discussed for a long time. I'm sure we will address that at later dates as we start seeing more stuff come in about GMO and grapes. Let's see. Oh, this is something while we mentioned marijuana, cannabis appellations. Should we start doing cannabis appellations like we have wine appellations? This is the thought. Not that I agree or disagree with it. It's just something that's interesting, I think. The cannabis appellation. This is a Mendocino marijuana here. This is from the Mendocino High Ridge appellation. And this one here is from the Lake County River Appellation. And, you know, it could get crazy. It could get nuts. And if you're really into it, into marijuana, I guess it can make a difference. But it's being kicked around now. It's being kicked around to look at it. The thing is, like we just heard on that little video that popped up, much to my dismay, the federal government does not authorize marijuana. It is still illegal on the federal level. And the Trade and Tobacco Bureau is the one that issues the AVAs for wine. So, since it's not legal on the federal level, who would authorize AVAs for marijuana? And would it be done by the states? Don't know. That's just, you know, a thought there. But you may be seeing things pop up. The first bordering Napa is a region that grows marijuana called the Emerald Triangle. That includes Humboldt County, Mendocino County, and Trinity, where lots of marijuana is being grown and stuff. So they may have that as a AVA, American Viticulture Area for Marijuana. Who knows? We'll see. Something that we will follow also and see what's going to come of it and what's going to happen about it. So, let's see. Do I have something else I want to hit on lightly here? Virginia. Let me just say a word. I'm not going to go into it, but Virginia Wine Board issues marketing request proposals, and it says tourists now are flocking by the millions to Virginia wineries, which needs to motivate me to start calling some wineries in Virginia and get them on the radio program. They are all over the place in Virginia. In fact, I had visitors at the winery this past week. When was it? Monday. No, Tuesday. No, Monday. Monday they came in. They were from Virginia. And they were telling me that there's just, you can't, you pick up a rock and you throw it and it's going to hit a winery. That's how many there are there now. In fact, that was his term. You know, pick up a rock and you throw it, you're going to hit a winery. But it's exploding there, and millions of people. We need to start getting them on the radio again. I will start doing that work to try to get it done. So excuse me. There you are. That's it for the night.
Well,
it's Mike has. Oh, here's something I want to tell you. I saw this. Let me cover this quickly here. I don't know if all of you watch the Super Bowl. I watch it basically because of the advertisements. I just, it's something that's new and interesting, and you see the advertisements, and then when people start talking about them, you go, oh, yeah, I saw that. But like my engineer said, you don't have to look at the advertisements anymore. You can just the next day or that evening pop them up on Facebook and or not Facebook, on the web, and you can find any of the advertisements right there. But it was a good football game after all. So that was a plus, I guess. But Yellowtail, I don't know if you remember Yellowtail's advertisement. A 30-second spot featured a very muscular kangaroo and a guy in a fun guy in a yellow suit. And the advertisement, Yellowtail, was just, you know, talking because their emblem is the kangaroo on the label. And people in Australia say they're embarrassed. It embarrassed Australia on the international stage with the Super Bowl advertisement featuring a woman in a bikini and a kangaroo in an apron. So they were embarrassed about this thing. Now, the 30-second spot probably introduced an audience of over 120 million people to kangaroos and the yellowtail wine, but people of Australia were embarrassed because it was not to their standards of Australia. Yeah. Oh, come on, Australians, lighten up. But just want to let you know.
Maybe they would have preferred the person in a plain package instead of a kangaroo outfit or something.
Or monkeys all, you know, remember the advertisement of the monkeys on screen and all that? I can't remember. GoDaddy, I think, maybe some, I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. But an embarrassed Australia. Sorry, Australia, that you were embarrassed. I thought it was a funny advertisement. And there we go for this week. Don't forget Saturday, National Wine Drinking Day.
Everyone celebrate. I won't be able to because I'll be at work. So, unfortunately, my position does not allow.
Well, you get lunch.
Yeah, but that wouldn't go over too well. Drinking alcohol.
Oh, I tried to help.
I sent you. I sent you a couple of links. First one is to the Pahrump Valley. We did a show on Nevada. When we were going through the states. And it was on September 29th of 2011. And
wow.
We did two. Yeah, that's a long time ago. We did two. We did Pahrump Valley, and we did what was the other one? It was I'll have to find it here. But we did two of them, and Churchill Vineyards. So we did a show on both of those.
Well, that was probably before we were actually calling up and getting interviews too.
Yeah, I think so.
At the beginning there, I was doing research on them and finding out all about them and everything and telling all about them. But, you know, so.
Yeah, I didn't have anything to guess. But, well, I don't know because I listed them by name. So I'm wondering if we did have Pahrump Valley Winery. Yeah, because I didn't put a specific winery in our description unless we were actually talking to them. So I'm guessing we had two guests. We had two guests on there, so Churchill and Pahrump Valley.
I have to go listen to that and see who it was that I interviewed from Pahrump, because they've changed hands there. That's what I'm saying. From 2011, they might have changed hands. So, I don't know.
The other one is an article I found on PBS, Nova, I think it is, the show, and they did an article on CRISPR. So they're talking about that. So I sent you that also. So it has some information on there, but you know, talk about New Jersey growers and stuff. So that was in there. Other than that, let's see. A quick shout out to Fly With Wine on Twitter for liking one of our tweets. Thank you very much, Fly With Wine. Just don't do that while you're flying.
Literally,
but,
while flying. Yeah,
unless you're a passenger, that's okay. But don't be in the front of the plane going.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
Yes. But
except
other than
Saturday,
that,
day. Yeah. Yes.
Saturday is the exception. Yes. Sure. Driving a commercial vehicle or flying a commercial jet, so or a regular jet or a plane. Yeah. But celebrate afterwards.
Yeah.
So, and you had some strawberry port. Yeah.
Yes, I do. I will. Good continue to enjoy my strawberry port probably Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll probably go enjoy some in a few minutes, actually. I forgot to pour glass as well, but it's a little too far to run out real quick. Nope. But, yeah, it's definitely good. Okay, then I guess we will close the show out for tonight. There's no events, I don't believe. I didn't have anything.
Not this week, no. But next week we have one
next
coming
week.
Up. But
yeah.
Nothing this week.
Next week,
but that doesn't mean you can't. If you're in the area, stop by. I'll be there all day.
Oh yeah, yeah. Open 7 days a week except major holidays. So, when is President? Is President's Day on Monday or something? Or
Monday. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah,
and you're open.
Monday. Yeah. Yeah. That's just that's not an important holiday. That's sort of one of those weenie holidays. You know. Yeah.
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 So you can stop by the winery, and. You can enjoy a wine tasting then with Ron and learn all about the wines there and a whole lot more. So come on out to Florida State's Winery, and we'll tell you more about that, I think, in the outro here. So we'll close the show, and we'll see you all back here on Blog Talk Radio on February 23rd. That's next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. And thanks for tuning in, and have a great week, and celebrate National Wine Day on Saturday. National
thank you all
Drink
for listening.
Wine Day. Yeah,
National
thank you.
Drink
have
Wine
a good
Day.
One.
Thanks for listening.
That sounds good. Every day should be that.
Hey, every day. Every day.
Yep.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.